Welcome back to Cultivating Change, everyone. I'm your host, Alex Corey, and today's guest is going to be a fun one. We haven't actually spoken in depth before, so this will be a true discovery process. This is Pa'ana Alapai. She owns her own CrossFit gym on Oahu in Hawaii and helps others maintain and progress through their versions of fitness, and CrossFit is her chosen modality because that's what she found in her journey to be truly transformative and impactful. We met through our water group, Evolution Era, where we nerd out about hydrogen and all sorts of recovery mechanisms, which I'm sure we'll get into. Enjoy this podcast with Pa'ana Alapai.
Okay.
Thank you for joining me today, and it's nice to finally meet you. Like you said, how did you get into CrossFit? So I just perused your website, which is fantastic. You're the sole owner of CrossFit YPO.
I am. Yes.
You said 5 years coming up.
It'll
on?
Be 5 years in January, which I didn't remember. One of my coaches was like, "Hey, do you know this is coming up?" I'm like, nope, no idea. You know, because just everything is so busy, right? There's just so much going on since reopening. And I know that it's been a little over a year, but it's been hard for gyms to reopen right now. So I'm not the only one. So thinking about things that we've personally accomplished as owners isn't something that's like on your mind right now, right? Like you're just going kind of thing.
Yeah, milestones aren't pressing on your mind probably. You're just, well, you've got obviously client success to focus on. You have drawing new people in, just the general making people aware that you're there. There's a lot more that goes into it than remembering your own milestones.
Yes, for sure.
How do you find CrossFit? Because it is such a specific exercise modality.
Yeah. It was a buddy of mine. He was going through a terrible breakup and found this Groupon and was like, "Let's do it." And I'm like, "You're crazy." You know, cause anything that you Google search about CrossFit, I mean, everybody is like, "There's no way I can do that." Or, "I'm not in shape to do CrossFit," you know, like, which we now realize we don't need to be shaped for CrossFit. We don't need to know everything. So I just started with him, and now he takes like full credit. Is always like, "This was me." Anybody asks the questions and he's around, he's like, "Yep, thank you. It was me," kind of thing. So once we started and just kept moving through it, I instantly wanted to coach it and got my cert and started coaching right away. And I didn't think that it would spiral into what it is now, because it was just fun to do, loved helping people, you know, but now that being an owner was never like on the radar for sure.
Yeah. What makes you make that jump from, and CrossFit definitely has this appeal where most people get the marketing impression and they see like large dudes throwing barbells around and the explosive, like that looks hard and like it's going to hurt my joints. And that is very pervasive. And even in gyms, whenever people are doing bodybuilding or just working out and they see CrossFit games on, you only see the like most brutal, taxing things. And people who are trying to get into it just from a frame of getting back into shape or becoming more aware of their body or working on movement imbalances have that as their bar. So where's the stepping stone from, you know, just realizing aerobic exercise and high intensity exercise and compound movements are beneficial for everything like bone density? And basically I could just go through a list, but where's the stepping stone from the general, "I want to get in a better shape," to CrossFit? Where was yours?
I think for me, when it started, so I've always been athletic, always played sports. But at the time that when I started, I was basically only surfing, playing like recreational slow pitch softball, like really not super contact, cause I destroyed my knees. Right. So, coming into it, it was a little skeptical, like you're saying, like, you know, I don't want to be this person that's going to be flipping tires and, you know, throwing weights over my head that I have no idea how to do. And so when we first started, we had to go through this basic on-ramp, I think is what they called it at the time, to learn all the basic movements and how, what they're going to be looking for. And we still do that at our gym too.
Good.
Yes, it's very, very essential.
And could you go through those? What are some of those basic ones that, that people could start with? Obviously, instruction is always helpful because people aren't aware of their own movement imbalances and compensations, which is where a coach is super helpful because you can watch someone and be like putting a lot of emphasis on this side or your knees are bowing. But what are the basic movements that you look for before you start loading someone or preparing them to, for their body to take some weight?
Oh, gosh. I think that's going to be a question for everybody, right? Different people for different things, right? Yeah. So I could have one person that has huge body awareness, great body mechanics, and would probably move weight sooner than someone that doesn't, right? So I think everybody individually is going to be different. And that's where you learn that, right? So that's where we try to establish that in the beginning with this element session that we do. Someone may not get into a squat very well, so we're going to not load that squat. And we're going to tell them at that time, this is something that you need to practice. Or that's it. There's another person in that same class that moves really well. It'll be nice to see what you can do loaded with a barbell, right? But again, take it slowly. And I think that's what's the perk about CrossFit too, is everything is individualized. It's not, you come in, you have to do this movement. You have to do this weight. And a lot of times people have that misconception of when they're coming in is they're having to do these heavy barbell things and whatever gymnastic stuff. I have to stand on my hands. What are you talking about? Right. But no, there's tons of modifications to get us to that point. Right. And knowing that and learning that it's going to be okay until I get to that point is usually that aha moment that people have, right? Eventually, if you want to throw around those big weights and all that stuff, then we can get there. It's just going to take time to get there.
Right. Yeah. The core strength, the platform, the stability, the mobility, the range of motion, all of that, I think is way harder. And still for me, if I'm out of it for, if I'm feeling lethargic or something for a week and I don't focus on anything to do with core or balance, or just range of motion, and then I go back into my normal routine, I am way more likely to injure myself. My low back tweaks if I think about it. So if I don't pay attention to all those base of the pyramid things, extensibility, just kind of making sure that your body is at a good baseline before you start putting it under stress. That's been the hardest thing for me to consistently remember is, it is a very humbling process of, it's like running in cross country in high school. So annoying. Lung capacity is the thing I think that increases the fastest and decreases the fastest. So if you didn't run for a week because you were sick and then you go back into it every day, you feel like you never did it. Like it just disappears from that place you built it up to, you know, you'll lose 20% and that 20% hurts when you're in it. It comes back quickly, thankfully. And so does any muscle-centric movement. Is if you're out of it for a week, it's pretty humbling where you have to get back to, but it does rebuild quickly, thankfully.
Yes.
What have you found with yourself and with clients to be the biggest aha moments? What do you usually see as a light bulb? What connection do you see them make that kind of inspires them to keep going and progress quickly?
That they actually can do the movements, you know, a push-up for a female or a pull-up for a female. And when they actually are getting closer and closer to that, they're like, I'm going to get this. Yes, you're going to get this, right? Or even for the guys to getting into a front rack position, sometimes for guys are super hard because they're just upper body tense, right? Yeah. So they're so excited when their elbows get just slightly in front of the bar. It's like, I can hold this without, you know, like holding it. Yes, you can. You know, so when they break through those movements or those boundaries that have been kind of like, oh, I don't think I'll ever be able to do it. And you actually are. is always that aha, right? And continuing to, this is still that surface. I can learn this movement or like a gymnastics movement, but then there's more to that gymnastics movement, right? There's always this upper level of where you could take it. And where barbells is always weight, right? We start at this, oh, I can get stronger. And you just continue to do that. So those are the best ones for me, is when they can see that they actually can do it. And they know that they, the confidence, the self-confidence that they get from it.
That can't be overstated. Yeah, the boost to self-confidence, self-image, general self-efficacy. So the belief that you can actually do something you set out to do applies to, ripples through all aspect of your life, which is why any business coach or mentor will always say include a physical movement practice, because you need that. It's the easiest form of teaching yourself how to be disciplined and building the ability within yourself. Be like, I can basically do this. If I do it a little bit every day, I'm going to be terrible. But as I found out, I just started Tai Chi because I needed something that wasn't beating my body down. I'm good enough at beating my body down. I needed a more sort of recovery or energetic awareness practice. And I always forget when I start something like starting archery, that you're going to be so bad. I am so bad at just synchronizing my body. And I thought it would have been better because of my history and resistance training, but it's different when you actually have to move, as in whenever sort of your hemispheres have to talk back and forth, and you're not worried about just moving weight. You're worried about sort of keeping back. It's like yoga, but it's slow yoga, which is way more difficult for me because I'm a fast person. It's difficult to slow down. Instead of resistance training is usually, unless you're doing like plyometrics or something explosive, you're grounded. So you're not moving in multiple planes of motion at once. And you can do that for sure, but it's a specific modality. So whenever I was learning and still learning Tai Chi, the jumps you have are amazing because you go from awful and any just a small progression, you're just like, oh, I forgot how good this felt, because anything you learn is a massive jump. And it's, I imagine the same thing when people are starting CrossFit, where it's just I am so bad at this. But then just that first week, when you see those like huge jumps in basic foundational stuff, you're like, oh, I'm going to get better at this very quickly. You might not go to the top, but just your level of reward skyrockets.
Yeah. And it's not even just for the beginners too, right? It's even for the people that have been doing it for a really long time. And that one moment it clicks like, oh snap, how did I miss this all this time? So it's, and then they pick it up and then it's like, okay. Or you just adjust them slightly in something. And then it's just like, and then you see their minds blown, right? It's like, yes, finally we're finding. And this could be someone that's been there for years. Yeah. And not that they're moving terrible or aren't doing the movements. It's just now something's connected and then they start moving better, right? So it is, yes.
What have you found? Do your clients come to you and give you little interesting tidbits sort of since they started doing CrossFit? They're like, I didn't think this would happen, but like another area of their life that it immediately crossed over into, other than the sort of the discipline and the business stuff that I might've mentioned, but any other modalities where they're like, this made this other part of my life way better. Do you get those stories at all?
Yeah. So a lot of our athletes also do other sports. So like outrigger canoeing is huge here. So they stay in shape for that. I actually have a professional ping pong player. He comes in and he does it to stay active with that. Hula. I have women that come and they can dance hula better because of that. It's our form of dance. Like they can hold the position in their legs better. They're not as shaky or wobbly and they can consistently stay with that. So nutrition, you know, they are starting to come 5 days a week. Now they go home to their family and is like, we are not eating this way anymore. It's digressing what I'm doing at the gym. So yeah, it's a huge spectrum of how this sport can relay into everyday life. And that's what it really comes down to, right? It's that functional movements for our everyday life, right? Yeah. What is it that's going to continuously put us through things? Be like, oh, I can still do this. I can still move. I can still play with my grandkids, or, you know, whatever that is, you know? So yeah, it comes in all waves. And that when I get feedback from that, whether it's nutrition, staying up with another sport, getting down to the ground with their grandkids and standing back up with no pain, it's rewarding as a coach.
I didn't expect that to happen, but what you just said, sort of the objective test the next day. So I have a number of clients. I don't harp on the lifestyle stuff as much as I used to at the beginning, because like you said, people will quickly figure out that they can't get away with what they did that they used to the night prior to training session. They're like, if I go to bed 2 hours late, if I eat food that doesn't serve you and is just going to make you feel crappy the next morning, you don't get away with that if you have to move through that amount of everything, regardless of what stage you are. So it's a good, if you know you have to do it, it gives you a good excuse to be good, because you will feel awful if you are not. So it's, no one's berating you. No one's making you shame. It's just a reflection of your lifestyle.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's, and a lot of times, how many times have you seen it with your athletes that they're like, oh man, today's going to suck because I was not smart about my choices last night.
Yep.
And like, it probably is, but now that you know that you came in that way, here we go. Right. Like, let's go. So, and then that's even a different type of awareness, right? Not just being aware of how you physically move through workouts. It's being aware of your inside. Yeah. Like all of your, how is your body responding to the sleep? Like you were saying, mm-hmm. Are you not getting enough sleep? Are you drinking enough water? Whatever you're eating, was that pizza really worth it or whatever? Right. So, I mean, I think it is, but in moderation, but right. You know, like it's still the choices, and they start to realize that too. Yeah. And that's what makes it nice or rewarding, that they are starting to be more aware of just them as a whole, as a person. How can they make better changes? Yeah.
Yeah. And the pizza bit, what I like, I'm a big metabolic person. That's what Primal Health kind of emphasizes, is rebuilding the ability to burn, well, to be metabolically flexible, so you can equally as well burn fat. And the buffer that resistance training gives you is what I love watching other people come to themselves, as in, it won't hurt as much since you have built up your metabolism. You can get away with a little more of the enjoyment in your everyday life because you either know how to effectively utilize it or recover faster. So the sort of the activates cheat mode a little bit. I like saying, sort of just with making your body a little more efficient with resources. So you can, you know, if you have a pizza, it might not feel great, but definitely not the same thing as just sitting on it. If your metabolism and your oxygen is going, you know, next 48 to or 24 to 72 hours, doing a little less damage, thankfully.
Yes. Agreed.
So you touched on nutrition and lifestyle. How much about hydration do you see is talked about or needed with a lot of your clients? Like, do people know about adequate hydration, since we're in the same water group, evolution era, which is hydration focused? Do people know about hydration much?
No. And I think that that's what we also realize in our group, right? Like how much it's not out there, that education isn't out there. And when I found out about Kangen water too, I was like, how did I not know about this earlier in any athletic life? Like I've been so active for so long, and only to get it now in my 40s, you know, mid 40s, is like, what? So even when we get, when I was talking about the on-ramp, we do talk about hydration. We've always talked about it, but now it's even more,
right?
Now that I've gotten more education behind how powerful water is. We all know how powerful it is, but unless if we dive deeper into knowing it, or have people that are just very adamant about how to keep presenting this to our athletes. And that's what's amazing about my coaches too, is that they are learning more about it. And they're willing to talk to members about it more too, and be more confident about what is it that water does for us. And once they start learning about it, it's just mind blowing. So having that be a part of our conversation of right from the beginning of how much water you actually need to consume, people are like, oh my, I only drink like this cup a day. I'm like, yeah. And is it out of the tap?
Yeah. How is Hawaii's? How is Oahu's tap?
I think it depends on where you're at.
Sure.
Every tank is going to read a little bit different. My water isn't too bad of the area that I live in. But down in like town in like Waikiki areas, it's a little bit more, dirty, I would call it,
yeah.
But I have the whole setup now. So now I don't have anything. I'm not trying to drink anything but that. I travel everywhere with it. I don't.
Yeah, there are better solutions than tap water. And I wonder, what's the general recommendation that you tell your athletes or your clients for hydration or mineral consumption? And then does it change based on where they are in their training?
Yes. So it really depends. Like I was saying with how people move, how people do that, you do that. It's the same thing. If someone who doesn't drink water at all and you're telling them they need to drink a gallon of water a day, what's going to happen? What? No way. I'm not. And they won't do it. Right. So maybe it's starting off with that mason jar size a day. That's a win, right? Oh, you have some. Yeah. Then you have someone that's just kind of mediocre. Then you challenge them to be like, okay, how much do you normally drink? Oh, it's two of these. Let's try to add three, right? Okay. Now we have three. Sweet. Now let's see what is it that you should be drinking daily, right? If you have someone that is just drinks water like crazy, doesn't even need it, then you're not really having it. As long as you're hitting that goal of whatever they're coming in weight wise or workout wise, it should be good, right? So I think it all depends on the individual still. But if I could get everybody to do it, it would try to be close to at least, what is it, 1 liter per body weight, is it? I don't know
the liter conversion. I usually say half your body weight in ounces.
That works too.
Yeah, so it's half a gallon for a slimmer, somewhere between a half gallon and a gallon is usually a lot, but that's sufficient for most people who aren't like just doing manual labor all day. Now, if you're training, obviously it's going to go up a little bit because I can easily do a full quart just in a, a training session. But for obviously I'll drink more if I'm out doing a permaculture project and like swinging a mattock or an axe or something, but just on a normal day, if I can do 64 ounces, that's usually fine. Especially, it's also weird if you're trying to become fat adapted or keto adapted at the same time. People who move from a higher carbohydrate diet down, because glycogen stores water, that's what they think the keto flu is actually. It's you're purging electrolytes because the water is being flushed because all of your stored glycogen is being metabolized and used, and the water is being flushed with it. So if you're constantly cycling glycogen like you would be on low carb, water is a little more important to put back because you're constantly using it, flushing it. So I'd probably have to drink a little more than someone who's just doing 400 to 500 grams of carbs a day.
Absolutely. And that's where everybody's just so much different, right? That's where we have to take that into account. So having that set goal across like, we stick to this map, but that's what it is. So I totally agree. You just don't know where people are at in their journey, right? But like they could be keto, they could be carb loading, they could be macros, they could be whatever, but just the importance of waters has been like so mind-blowing and eye-opening for me lately for this last year of just learning more about it. There's just so much to learn.
Now, you just got back from the CrossFit Games, didn't you?
It's the CrossFit Masters Collective.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Different.
A little bit different. Yeah.
What is the difference? Because I didn't know about that. What is the CrossFit Masters Collective and how did you get into it? And then it seemed like you did pretty well. You want to tell us about it a little bit?
Yeah. So the difference with the CrossFit Masters Games, it's games. So games is the highest level that you can get into. for competition when it comes to individuals or teams or adaptive or teenagers. The Master Collective, what they are CrossFit certified, so they're supported through CrossFit. They hold a competition for master athletes, which is where I'm at. So it's nice to be competing in people of my own age bracket. So it's only designated for those age brackets.
Gotcha.
And that age bracket starts at 30 and it jumps every 4 years. So 30 to 34, 35 to 39. So it goes on and so forth up into 65 years old. And then they have a division for 65 and older, and it's male and female. And then you're put against, how it started for this was you do an online qualifier. So you have, how many workouts did we have? We had 7 workouts that we needed to do, record it, send it in for judging. If you make, then they put it on the leaderboard. If you made top 14, you got invited to the in-person. And then they divided up the divisions. So they made an elite division, which is basically taking that top 14 places and putting them together. And then from the 14 people below that, they made an RX division. So that way those people still got to compete at a level, but just, it's kind of a bigger gap, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So, which was great. I thought that it was a great way for them to do it because they're still competing in that harder level, but with people that are probably more in their realm, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a surprise to make it. We just did it just to kind of do it and see where we would place. And yeah, and then I got the invite to go and I said, okay, I'm going to go. And there it was.
That's awesome. What did you, anything surprising you learned about yourself? What was the sort of the hardest thing, and what was something that you expected to be difficult that you just like blew through? Any of those?
The hardest thing for me was actually leading up to it, like being consistent with my workouts, being consistent with my food and my sleep and my meditation, waking up to doing my devotionals, right? Still getting what keeps me happy first thing in the morning, and then sticking with all of the other regimens when it comes to competing. And not only that, it's like running a gym, still coaching, right? Still doing all those things. So that was the hardest part leading up to it, and being consistent and knowing that there is a bigger picture. Getting there and then actually doing it, my goodness, I just took it each workout, kind of just do my best. And there was some really great competitors there. I was like, holy cow. But to just kind of stay in the middle of the pack, and that seemed to work. And yeah, it was just a great time to be on that big of a platform. It was a pretty big platform that I've never competed at before. So it makes me excited to see what the next steps are.
Right. I'm sure. Well, that probably gave you a lot of inspiration and motivation. And I'm sure you made a bunch of good connections. I mean, that's half the value of those things, is just that's a little mini version of brotherhood, because you're all invested in testing yourself. And I imagine there's definitely some serious competition, but those types of events more so have everyone's rooting you on. Like it seems to be more of win-wins and fairly supportive, opposed to like high school sports where it's just ruthless. But because it's such an endeavor and everyone trains for it, it's kind of like Olympians. You love to see the sportsmanship in that level whenever people are aware of the commitment and the discipline it took to just get there.
Yeah. And that's so true. We all hang out, we're stretching out, right? We're cordial and we're talking, or you can use that warming up. Then we get on the floor and it's like,
it's on.
Let's go, you know? And then after we're done, we all congratulate each other, you know, and then we move on to the next thing. So yes. And that's, I think, very unique to this sport, of how much people really just cheer each other on and want them to do good. And you even see it in the games, the top athletes, they'll finish and they'll go and they'll like, come on, keep moving, right? They're waiting for the next person to come across that line, high-fiving them the minute they get through there, right? Hugs, whatever. So it's very rare that you see that from opponents in other sports.
Yeah, and I don't know why. I wonder if it's just because of the diverse backgrounds that everyone comes from and the mindset that you have to adopt to progress in it, maybe. But you don't see that in other sports, which is what catches my eye, even when I'm not doing CrossFit specific training or just being alongside people who are training for it in a gym. But there's a serious mindset shift that you get whenever you commit to something like that. And I don't know where that comes from.
Yeah. And it's even in the gym, right? You come to work out, you're not going to 24-hour fitness and be like, yeah, man, that was a nice lift, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You don't even know who they are. You come to, or at least I'll speak for my gym. You come to my gym, everybody knows each other's names, if not their families too.
Yeah.
They're finished. They're walking around high-fiving everybody, helping each other clean up and do all the things, right? It's more of a sense of community. I know that we hear that a lot in CrossFit, but it's just so true that that's what is created in that brick and mortar.
Yeah.
It's not you going to a 24-hour, or not saying that those things aren't working,
sure,
can't work for people. They definitely work for people. It's just that different feel, right? You're not bringing that same feel into like a structured kind of gym, whereas CrossFit's just slightly, it's just different.
I think that's what it had for it and why it became so popular was it definitely built around that community feel, because there were group exercises and they were the same basic movements. It was, you could see everyone sort of struggling through their barriers and their level of progression, and you knew exactly what they felt like. It's not hyper discontiguous like a normal gym is, where you could just see the one guy doing like lat pull downs all the time and that's what he did, which is fine. Lat pull downs are amazing, but yeah, it's almost a, well, it's a bridge between different fitnesses. That's the one thing that if anyone that has probably helped me move from different sports without the agony of feeling like I'm starting over. Just because if you do some sort of cross training like CrossFit, like if you go from mountain biking to running, they're completely different muscle groups. And you're like, I should be better at this because I'm active. CrossFit's the only thing that sort of bridges that like muscle competency that I know of, where you don't start over at, you know, 10%, you can at least jump to like 40%. It still sucks because every movement's different, but it does lend a ton of assistance in life. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I totally agree. Just like we talked about how there's other sports that are involved in my athletes, right? They do CrossFit. Some of them started off to do CrossFit to stay healthier for their other sports. Now they're like, I want to stay healthy for my CrossFit,
right,
you know, before they do their other sports. So it does transition into other aspects very kind of seamlessly in some ways. Like you're able to pick up things a little bit faster, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. It gives you a stronger foundation for everything else almost.
Yeah. It's not just one sports centered, right? Yeah.
How often do you have to deal with movement compensations or just extremely underbalanced and overbalanced muscle groups with probably especially athletes, because there are so many more repetitive motions, but sort of how many times do you sort of introduce a compound movement to someone and then realize you have to focus so much more on just a single exercise to strengthen a certain muscle group before they can even do the compound without hurting themselves, something like that?
Yeah, I think that's it. Shown pretty quick.
Yeah.
If it's not shown in our element session. So once we finish that, as a group, as our coaches group, we will then put it into our chat saying like, okay, so Sarah has some serious ankle mobility issues. So she's not going to be able to perform this overhead squat very well. Let's watch her. Let's help her get through that. Right. So if it's not present right in that elements and they start coming to the gym and then you start seeing them move, that's when we're like, oh, okay, let's drop all that down.
Yeah.
Scrap this to the side. This is why we're doing it. Not just like, what are you doing?
Right.
It's more of, okay, we're going to focus on this movement. We're going to decrease this weight, or we're going to just do body weight, or let's focus on the feet placements, right? Like, or whatever it may be, who knows what that is. And then it's making them very aware that it doesn't matter about weights. It doesn't matter about you performing it at what she's doing over there. What matters is that we want to get you moving in the way that works for you, right? Whatever that may be. Like I was talking about guys with their front rack position. Yes, that guy's doing better, but you can do, let's not overload that barbell so those elbows are staying down at the side. Let's make it lighter so you're actually getting that shoulder mobility to move through, right? And so it's what we call it is humble lifting at our gym.
I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And so we try to remind everybody, let's remember humble lifting. So when we come around as coaches and we're like, okay, let's decrease that. Know humbly that we're coming at you humbly for that, and to do that, or be humble to yourself. Know that it's not working. Then, you know, I hope that answered your question.
It did. Yeah. Well, the only times when anyone gets injured in the gym, and it's usually deadlift, bench press, squat, is usually guys are overloading whenever their joints aren't ready for it. They don't have the range of motion. And yeah, it's just not being humble. Like, it's always better to have full control, especially if you're lifting any sort of weight against gravity, full control of the thing. But the problem is people have this like fight through the pain. You like joint pain is not a fight through a pain. If you have joint pain, like not working immediately, that's a big difference. But like you were saying with the front squat, I have a major issue with this too, because my lats are always tight and my chest is always tight. So I always start clients, mostly men, with a pedal bell or a dumbbell front squat. Very little weight, but to get the shoulders and everything, because like the movement imbalances and the hips and everything will show up with that. And there's almost no risk of injury. And it's so frustrating for me and everyone else to realize how difficult it is to lift even like a 40-pound dumbbell with good form in front of you.
Yeah.
Whenever they see people just loading up a back squat. But yeah, I mean, you don't know what that person had to go through to get to that back squat. They could have been in it 10 years and they could have started exactly where you are. So it's always the trouble of comparing yourself to others, is you have no idea what they had to go through to get there.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And that when you have a group that understands that too. So with my coaches, we all are so in sync and we meet every week and we talk about all the things that we need to talk about, who's doing what, who got injured, whatever the case, which is so healthy, because then we're able to focus on people that need to have that focus on and not be like blown out of the water. So Sarah comes normally to 6 a.m., but today she's showing up in my class at 4:30. I've never coached her, never seen her, never, but I know what's going on with her because we are on that same page with the coaches, right? So with being a personal trainer, the way that you are structured to do for your business, it's nice because you're able to just focus on that person. When we're looking at a bigger group setting, like how we run things, a little bit harder to do, but trying to be better at like talking about the athletes in general, which ones we need to focus on, even the ones that are lifting heavy. You know, like this guy, he's been at X amount of weight for 20 years.
Yeah.
He needs to increase his weight, right? Like, let's start to push him more. Let's start to, so it's not just only the ones that need better body mechanics. It's the ones that have the mechanics that now need to be challenged as well. Right. So we have to challenge everybody. We have to touch everyone, right?
Yeah.
That's
so cool.
It's fun.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, it's you're in a growth environment. Like, there's dopamine just flooding everywhere and it's constantly learning. Yeah, it's the best microcosm for life, which is why it's always suggested to do, because if you can master the discipline and get consistently better at that, it mirrors everything else in your life, relationships, yes, business, everything. One thing I want to go back to that I forgot to mention was, so you had, I talk about electrolytes a ton with people because most people don't know about electrolytes, minerals in general, but you had the experience of doing regular water and training, and then introducing the hydrogen-rich electrolyzed reduced water. What did you notice? Because you're putting your body under a tremendous amount of stress, and recovery is probably the least emphasized thing in resistance training that I know of.
Yeah. The recovery.
Yeah.
The way that I just feel. So what really didn't hit me of how much it mattered, because when you're in your training and you're living your everyday life and you're drinking this amazing water, you're seeing small growths, but you're thinking it's because you're making these changes, right? So you're like, oh, this is great. This is great. The first time that I traveled back to Hawaii Island, because I'm from Hawaii Island, to go hang out with my family for a week, I didn't bring my machine. I was like, it's just a week. Yeah. And Hilo tap water is delicious. I'll be fine, right? And I go there, and within 3 days, my workout regimen was the same. My nutrition was the same, because when I go, I have a gym that I go to. I go to get all my foods and all that stuff. The only difference was my water. And I was sluggish. I just was not motivated to be moving, doing anything at the gym. I mean, my recovery wasn't that great, and they weren't doing as hard as workouts that I normally do, because I just joined classes, right? I'm not going in to do my own thing. I'm going to go because this is your class and I'm going to take the class. But at home, I do a bigger workout regimen for myself, right? I was doing very minimal of a workout. In my opinion, it felt minimal. So the only difference was the water, and not just the drinking water. I also have my shower water,
right?
My Nespa. So just that 1 week made me realize how important this water really, really is, and how much it helps with my recovery, my sleep. Because even if I drink it before I sleep, right? Make it in my tea. When I shower, I cut my shower shorts when I was on the Big Island too. So I was like, everything. And that's when I realized how much it's been just a game changer. So I take it everywhere with me now. If I can figure out how to take the shower with me everywhere, I will.
It's an awkward unit, and good luck with that.
It is.
Yeah.
But so when I went to Indiana, it came to Indiana with me. When I go camping, it comes with me camping, like everywhere I go.
Justin, my microgreens business partner, is making a specific suitcase that will hold all of the attachments and reduce like jostling for that, because everyone who has one just gets addicted to it and just takes it everywhere as one of their carry-ons.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like cheat mode, and you get very used to it. My old roommate when I moved was quite upset because it moved with me. So she had to go back to RO water and put up a little fight. It was kind of funny, but
it was, when I took mine, my roommate too, I didn't take the, why am I brain farting?
Multipure?
The Multipure. Thank you. I was like, you still get filtered water though? Right. And he was like, great.
Yeah. Same response. Yeah. They're just like, it doesn't feel the same. Well, you're not getting a dose of hydrogen, which does very,
yes.
Like you said, I don't know why no one mentions that. I don't know why hydrogen isn't talked about. Maybe because it's so foundational that everyone glosses over and assumes you get it from everywhere else. But as I've found recently, because I've been doing a deep dive on it, and I'm sure everyone who pays attention to my social media is pretty sick of it, but our microbiome is supposed to be cranking out the hydrogen. It's the last step of breaking down your food, which is hydrocarbons. So oxygen, hydrogen, carbon. If it's protein, there's some nitrate, but it's supposed to be your colon bacteria just ripping apart your food. And the last step of the breakdown takes every enzyme we have is to liberate the hydrogen. So if our microbiome is nuked from anything, glyphosate, antibiotics, whatever people are exposed to, we lack that hydrogen producing capability. So where we normally are supposed to get it from, for that built-in recovery and repair, probably we're at 50% maybe without adding hydrogen anywhere else, either tablets or we have the electrolyzed reduced water because we're lucky. But I'm trying to get hydrogen exposed as sort of the major form of recovery because it's your body uses it everywhere, and every cell is hydrogen. Yeah, it's been a game changer. Do you like any electrolytes for performance? Just curious.
I actually don't even, I actually just started, it's this new, so one of my ladies, she's a doTERRA, and she just keeps trying to get me to have some doTERRA stuff. And she just gave me this new bone broth that I haven't tried yet. What is it called? Oh, here it is. Meta Power.
Okay.
So it's called, actually, I don't even think it's electrolytes, to be honest.
No, but bone broth is good. I mean, collagen is.
Yes. Collagen that, plus that's why everything. I said yes to it. Cause I know, right? Like, I'm like, yeah, I'll try that. Sure. Why not? But I don't normally know.
That's good to know that you don't need to, if you're focusing on, you know, the Multipure is obviously amazing, the Aquaperform, because it preserves minerals, and that's why we tend to use it with our electrolyzer, because it's the best purification but keeps the good stuff. So we have mineral rich water. I find, and this might just be my nutritional paradigm, because I cycle in and out of low carb, is I just blow through specifically magnesium. I have to supplement magnesium because I just don't hold it well. Like, I take some bio optimizers, which is all seven forms. If I'm going to be doing a heavy workout, that is the one thing, that plus the water, obviously, makes such a noticeable difference in my time before I get exhausted. Super weird.
Oh,
yeah. But like you said, everyone's very different. Like, I don't deal with magnesium well. Some people don't, are afraid of salt. And good salt is very different than not good salt, but everyone has some mineral or some micronutrient that they just don't get enough of, and that's their bottleneck. It's very weird to figure out. Some people don't have iodine or any of that, but
the nutrition, and that's hard to figure out too, right? Yeah. If you're just an everyday person that just, man, it's more than just cutting stuff out, introducing things. I mean, it is all of that, but it takes a lot of work to do that. And most people don't want to do that, right?
Yeah. Or self-experimentation takes too much time. Unless you're just fascinated about the way your body works and learning yourself, which most health coaches, like, I'm a health coach, that's why we get into it, because we're fascinated about that and trying to inspire that in other people. But if most people are working a regular job with kids and everything, they're not going to do the self-experimentation and risk sort of feeling more lethargic than they are for a day when they figure out something that they're lacking. Yeah, I totally get it. But it is fascinating when you find that one thing that just makes you feel like 20% better.
Yeah.
Like magnesium.
Like magnesium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. As far as, I won't take up too much more of your time because I know you have to head into your day because you're 5 hours behind me. What nutritionally, big picture, do you find is the sort of the 80%, the good enough for your clients? Sort of, I always focus on protein because it affects literally everything and it's easy enough for people to remember, so they don't have to constantly count macros unless they want to. But do you have one thing that you stress nutritionally to most of your athletes and clients?
Protein.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. That's usually where everybody's lacking. They think that they're getting enough of it, but they really aren't getting enough of it. Usually most people are carb dense, in my opinion, carb and fat. So stressing, you want to build muscle, you want to build lean muscle, you want to get healthier, you need to increase your protein.
Yeah.
That 80-20 thing works really well for people that are just starting, that I've seen. And you probably have seen the same things, just making that small little adjustment to have their mindset be at that, which seems so simple to us, right? Because we've been in this lifestyle for a long time, but giving them that little simple thing to do is always, has been a win for us too as coaches. So right away from where we talk about having hydration. So part of our 90-minute session for that Elements, when they learn all the basic movements, we do talk about hydration. We talk about basic nutrition as well. And that first at the top of the list is your protein and intake of protein and whatever. However that is, it's so important.
Do you have, some people get real nitty gritty with branched chain amino acids and leucine and isoleucine ratios. Do you have specific food groups that people are like, if I'm meal prepping, what should I do just so I don't have to think about it? Like, what are the big ones protein wise that you like recommending that most people don't have an objection to?
When it comes to actual types of protein,
yeah,
is that what
yeah.
you mean? Just staying with leaner meats,
hmm.
you know, kind of saying like the chicken breasts, the turkey breasts, the bison, pork tenderloins.
Bison's good. Yeah.
Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah.
If they're more on the vegetarian side, then sticking with like Greek yogurts or cottage cheeses or legumes. Yeah. So it just depends on everybody, but trying to get them to stay away from two of the fattier meats, like steaks. They're delicious. Mm-hmm. You can have them once in a while, but try to keep more to the leaner sides. What's good for us too out here in Hawaii is that we do raw fish a lot.
Yeah.
And everybody usually really enjoys raw fish. So I'm all about that life too. Eat that. I don't care if it's white or red.
Right. Yeah. If you can get clean fish, that is, I mean, entire civilizations have prospered on that. So that is a luxury to have fresh, uncontaminated, hopefully clean fish. That's most people's concern with fish is just
yes.
bioaccumulation of mercury. But I'm finding a lot of interesting science on, as long as it's not farmed, because you're screwed either way. But if it's more fresh and wild caught, the selenium content in a lot of the bigger fish will actually neutralize the methyl mercury, which was news to me. Right.
Wow.
So a lot of that wild caught tuna or the wild caught salmon, especially the colder fish, have a higher selenium content, and that actually binds to and neutralizes the mercury. Now you're not getting the selenium because it's binding to and neutralizing the mercury, but I'll take that. Like, I'll get selenium elsewhere just to be able to eat fish, because it's such a good protein and fat profile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Iodine, and here, everything.
A lot of it comes from the ocean, right? Where there are a lot of fishermen that just sell their fishes down at the fish market. So that's interesting. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. That was a good one. Thomas DeLauer, I think, did a big video on it. And he's good for all of that cutting edge stuff where, you know, you can detect what people are getting turned away from because they hear some large news story or their doctor's like, maybe avoid seafood. And you're like, there's a way I can get you to eat more seafood. Because if most people don't like or have a paradigm that discounts red meat. Now I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum of you, because I do primal and we love red meat, but to each their own. And definitely people have a mindset around that. But seafood is everyone. Like, no one has an objection with good seafood. It's usually people don't have a problem with it ethically. Like, that's the jump from vegetarian. When I was vegan and vegetarian, pescatarian is usually next. People are like, okay, I'll do fish. So it's usually a great broad spectrum for everyone who, if you're trying to get more trace minerals, iodine, all that good stuff, and protein, fish is where it's at for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I want them to eat the white meats, red meat too.
Yeah.
If we're just needing to introduce more,
right,
let's try to get more of the denser protein.
It's tricky. Correct. Yeah.
Yes.
Especially if you're doing heavy, heavy workouts or HIIT training, and you really need to, if you're doing heavy meals like that, slow digesting protein, and you do it too soon beforehand, it's going to be a rough workout. So it's definitely a little more nuanced when you get into the heavier red meat. But yeah, as far as most people's just getting them to do more protein, leaner cuts are definitely less of a mental barrier where it makes sense. Yeah. You don't have to fight them on it. I don't have to give them pages on cholesterol, which I usually do in my programs, but you don't have to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. So if people wanted to find you, you have CrossFit YPO as a website, and that's yours, correct?
Yes, that's us.
Do you have open enrollment all the time, or are you on a waiting list, or people can just come in?
No, so what they do is we set them up with a coach. They reach out, they give us their schedule, what works for them. It's a 90-minute session to start. They have to complete the 90 minutes before they start coming to work out. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. If they've done CrossFit before, then we allow them to come into class, but the coaches assess them still. So if they're saying that they did it, but they show up and they're doing a movement that is not what we're doing, then we're like, you might want to go back. And they're warned before they do that, right? So we warn them, like, we're always love to have people that have done CrossFit before. Just understand that the coaches are still going to assess you. And if they feel like you need to do our element session, that you're open to it. So that way it kind of puts that pressure off of the coaches and them, right? Making that call. So yeah, to find us, we take everybody. I don't care, but you have to be 13 and older. Sure. So I guess I shouldn't say everybody, but everybody from every walk of life for sure.
Amazing. Any social media that you post interesting little challenges on or anything that people can follow you on?
The CrossFit YPO one is where we post for some of our active members to do it. Sometimes I do it on my own, which is H2O Wahine, just to keep people interactive too with that.
I'll post all those in the show notes. Did we miss anything or did I miss anything that you think is very important or sort of just a good message to inspire people to help them get a little more active if they're thinking about it?
Gosh, you know, I thank you for inviting me to this. This was great. I've never done one before. And we just talk stories, which is perfect.
Yeah, my pleasure.
No, I think, you know, we touched on everything that you don't have to be in the best shape of your life to get in your best shape of your life, right? You start somewhere, you start moving, make better choices for yourself, which then in turn starts to make changes in your life and everything that you're doing. I think it even in work, right? When we're functioning, doing stuff at the desk, if our everything is just moving because we're in movement, now we're starting to eat better, make better choices, hydrate better. It's just a win all the way around. And we can start at any stage in life, any stage.
Yeah. I mean, I see stories all the time about 80-year-olds. I mean, they're definitely not as common as people in their 40s or 50s, but still 70 and 80-year-olds who just start changing their lifestyle, start doing some of the compounds, cleaning up their diet a little bit, and then just getting, I mean, not everyone's going to get absolutely shredded, but just looking dramatically and sort of the energy that they put off and the confidence and just the like exuberance for life that they exude radically shifts just from becoming more active and making a couple lifestyle shifts. So 100%, you can do it at any age.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Totally.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, I thank you very much for your time and we might do this again.
Okay. I'm down. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Thanks for listening to the podcast, everyone. I hope you found it of some value. I thoroughly enjoyed it. If you'd like to connect with Pa'ana or learn more about her CrossFit techniques, or if you're in Hawaii and want to have your own coach to progress through your levels of fitness, you can find all of her information, social media, challenges below. Her website is CrossFit YPO, and YPO is a little tricky to spell, so I'll put it below. If you'd like to know more about the hydrogen-rich water that we were chatting about, molecular hydrogen, and just all of the nerding out about hydration and electrolytes that we were mentioning, our group is Evolution Era, which I'll put below. Feel free to contact either one of us if you'd like to learn more about fundamental hydration and how it can help you in your performance.